and each name on the wall, you know, could very well represent thousands. Because each one of those people has family. Each one of those people has struggles. And as we raise our praise to the Father day and night, night and day, oh God, that you would teach us to come before you and to war on behalf of these who do not know you yet, God. To war on behalf of those who know you, God, but they're struggling to come close. To war on behalf of those, God, who have run away and can't find their way back, God. To war from a place of victory, that we would light our incense and never let it go out, God. That we would let incense rise to your throne, Father, and we would lift them up on our prayers, God.
This almost works. Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your presence. We just thank you for your goodness. And Lord, what you've been pouring out through this entire weekend, Lord, and here this morning in worship, Lord. You're so worthy, Lord. You're so worthy. Just thank you that you become large in our eyes because you're the King, but you're also our Father. So thank you, Lord, for this sweet time of worship, but just your presence just wrapping your arms around us, Lord. We thank you so much. Thank you, Lord. We've been having our second mission training weekend this weekend for the team that's going to Mozambique. And then last night we had the evangelism rally for those of you who were able to make it out. Pretty amazing. Just as we're planning on having an outreach into Canton, partnering with the People's Baptist Church this summer, July 17th, 18th, and 19th. And at the same time, the Mozambique team will be overseas. But I was just wondering if maybe a few of the Mozambique team and maybe those from the evangelism rally, if there's anything, just a testimony the Lord's put on your heart from this weekend, and just what was shared, something that really encouraged you, if we could just start with that. So is there anyone who has something burning in their heart to share? Burning on fire like Teresa. We have a testimony from Dawn, actually. Dawn shared with us over the weekend that her sister was in the ICU, and so we were praying here for her. And so what's the update?
Yeah, so my sister, she was like unresponsive for a moment, going in and out, in and out. And they say, well, it's like from her oxygen. She's like carbon monoxide. She's not breathing out enough from her lungs. And I stayed up there with her because she was afraid to be alone. And later on that evening, the doctor says, well, she's moving to a room. She's doing much better. Levels are down. And thanks for all the prayers.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And then I don't know if Mike's not here this morning, right? Jamie? Is Jamie here? I thought I saw her. Not right now. Okay. Is anyone else just something to share from this weekend, from the Times Impartation or the evangelism round? Mary?
Well, we were here for the evangelism rally last night, and I can share that I wasn't going to come because I had this preconceived idea of what it was going to be. And, you know, I could just picture thousands of doors, and somebody expected me to go door to door and hand out flyers. And I knew that I couldn't physically do that. And I talked to Andy and told him that I will be the prayer support, and if you need food, I'll bring it and everything else. But I just don't, I didn't see myself as a part of the outreach. And Don said, you know, if we don't go, I mean, we can't find out what's going on unless you go and get the picture. And I thought, that's absolutely true. And I knew God was saying to come. And we had an outstanding. And I know that what God's looking for is just a willingness to be a part. Just something, you know. I'll be available to do something, and then God will show you where your part of the puzzle is. But you have to have that attitude that I will go forward. I will be a part of it because I want to be a part of what God's doing. So don't make up your mind ahead of time. Just open yourself up to the Holy Spirit.
That's obviously a life lesson of just flowing with Holy Spirit. So Peter, yeah. Do you have something burning in your heart? Like something you just can't?
Mary just goes, shh. Thanks, Mary. Wow. Last night was really, really incredible. We shared the vision behind we call it the evangelism rally, only because it's coming together. You know, there's so many details behind it, but really what it is the Skyline Terrace in Canton in South, basically just on the other side of Highway 30 off Cherry Street, is an incredible area of Canton that in the natural eye is a very dark area. Just seeing the light of Christ, really wanted to go in and make such a landing in that specific area. As I was worshiping this morning, you know, the revival I see coming is that area, that specific area, totally turned, totally transformed because people are saying yes. It's really that simple. You know, when we have love inside of us, we were singing this morning about, teaching me how to love like you've loved me. And I don't know about you, but love is so simple. Yet when true love gets around people, gets with people who don't know what love is, it's like, you know, kind of pushes them. But when love stays on and love stays connected, it turns things. It turns people. They just go boop and turn. And it's no longer a push. It's now a pull, you know. And that's exactly what God's doing right now in this time. And if any of you were part of last night, you saw that we're going to bring some very, very simple elements together, very simple tools, dance, drama, the shortened version of the Jesus film. Really, it's going to be the love inside of us that's going to reach people. And what I'm excited about is that we get to partner with the People's Baptist Church. We've never done that before. And this is such an incredible opportunity because they're right there. And they're people who love that neighborhood. And we have a heart, and we are actually being drawn in by the Father's love to go and support and just say, hey, how can we help? You know? And using the heritage of how God has built an outreach into Canton through this house right here. I mean, you can go back 10 years. Of outreach specifically into the city of Canton on some of the coldest nights when Ohio State's playing, you know, and there's no one downtown, but we are, and we're reaching the lost, we're reaching the ones. There's one there, there's one there, there's one, hey, there's one over there. You know, it's kind of like that, you know, or getting people into the ministry center on wheels, you know, the wrecked bus that we used to have, and now First Fridays. And it's just that God is mounting because there's things that are hidden in the dark places. There are people hidden in the dark places that he wants to call out as gems. That's what God does. He says, your light, he says, live your life in such a way that the light inside of you will shine me, will shine Jesus. And then they'll see God's good works. And they'll glorify. They'll be like, oh, I finally see God. I see him. You made him so clear. That is the heart of what God's doing. He's doing it already. We just said yes. That's all we've done. We just said yes. So I'm really excited for a turn. I got a chance to go down there the other day and just do some filming in the area. And how many of you know that when you walk into an area and you have your phone on and you're videotaping, it's not always the funnest thing to do. It's not always the safest thing to do. But it needs to happen because God is coming. And there's going to be a lot more of that because it's no longer going to be one person who's standing on the outside filming, taking some tape of what they see. It's now going to be people standing in front of a camera saying, this is what God's done in my life this weekend. My life's not going to be the same because of this weekend. They're no longer going to be on a distance. It's going to be right up close and personal, and they're going to be sharing their testimonies about how God's impacted their lives. And the whole city of Canton is going to turn, and it's going to shift as a result. Do you want to play that video? Do you want to pull it up? Okay, there's a short little video of what I filmed, and it'll give you a really good idea of what the area looks like.
So Tiana's going to share something, I think. She said she had a testimony. So just seeing that, I mean, some of us have been there before and done outreach down there and passed out cookies and things like that, but just that's where we're going to be. We're going to be down there, and they already have an outreach that they've typically done every year, the weekend that we called them, and you know, Pastor Mary Pat and Pastor Bill felt led to do an outreach down there, called them, said, we'd like to come do something and partner with you. And they said, actually, we already do this outreach here. That's just a little afternoon thing, but it's going to be a whole weekend adventure. So I'll let you two.
To piggyback off that, we have a sign-up sheet if you're interested or want to participate in those. So it's July 17th, 18th, and 19th. It's a Friday evening, Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening, and Sunday afternoon. Sunday afternoon. Thank you. And just and also to piggyback off that, there's 37 to 36 apartment complexes with, buildings. So 37 buildings and 10 to 12 apartment complexes per building. So that's a potential of a couple grand people, around 2,000 or so, give or take. So there's a lot of people down there that are hurting and that we have an opportunity just to really share God's love and God's heart. So please sign up because you can be used.
And this girl right here, she is amazingly fiery. Her heart is for souls. And last night I was really stirred up because she just gave, she just poured out her heart last night and just gave, you know, just how she feels about, you know, she loves being with her daughter and being with Peter and having time with them. But God has called her to a higher purpose, and that's for souls. And there's people out there that really, really need us. We're here. We're comfortable. We love Jesus. We worship in here. We have a good time. But it's not for just in here. It's for out there. And yesterday when we had mission training, I was worshiping in the morning yesterday, and I was looking at that picture of Mozambique children, and as I was looking at it, the Lord was like showing me that it kind of looked like as we were worshiping, they were listening to our worship, like they're tuned in to hear. And then the Lord let me see like beyond just those children in the picture, but farther out, and how our worship here is not just here, but it's out there. It's reaching the nations as we're worshiping in here, because there's no distance in the spirit. And so I was stirred up by that, and I was stirred up by Teresa's testimony. And then we watched the Jesus film, and the part came on where Jesus was eating with the tax collectors and things. And I'm going to read it here. It says, "And as Jesus, together with his disciples, sat at the table in his house, Levi's house, many tax collectors and persons definitely stained with sin were dining with him, for there were many who walked with the same road and followed him. And the scribes, belonging to the party of the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with those definitely known to be especially wicked sinners," sorry, this is an amplified version, I didn't realize, "sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, 'Why does he eat and drink with tax collectors and notorious sinners?' And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, 'Those who are strong and well have no need of a physician, but those who are weak and sick, I came not to call the righteous ones to repentance, but sinners, the erring ones, and all those not free from sin.'" So we have a call, not just to sit in these seats and just enjoy our time here, but to go out and get those souls. And so personally, I am so excited for this rally, and I'm so excited for what God's going to do, because there's people that are scared to go to that area. There's people that don't want to reach out to that area. There's people that think that area is lost, and it's not lost, because God cares for every one of those people. And so I'm excited to see what God's going to do, how he's going to stir that place up, and how he's going to take that place for his kingdom.
Yeah, and we just had a really amazing weekend this weekend of mission training weekend. With the team, and so I want to share just some highlights. I'm going to touch on, it's going to be quick, but this morning Lawrence shared, and he shared a prophetic word that was given by a man named Tim Sheets, and so just something that God put on this man's heart about what he's doing now in this time. And one part of it is, "The synergized generation, in sync with my angel armies, and soaked in the presence of my spirit, will now leap forward into great revival. It will be a movement that moves. Moves in power, moves with passion, moves in purity. Notable miracles will spring forth. They are leaping in your midst." And at the evangelism rally last night, we had a whole line of people up here that all shared testimonies of things that God has done here, things that God has done overseas, things that they have seen, miracles they have seen, healings they have seen. And it was just such a powerful release of reflecting on what God has done and knowing that he's going to increase that and so much more, both in Mozambique this summer and as we go out in Canton. And it just, that part that I read, you know, what really stuck out to me is moves in power, moves with passion, moves in purity. So those three words, power, passion, and purity, that's what we're called to. And it brought me back to Friday night. Jamie spoke at the training weekend, and she was speaking on John 17, which is the chapter, it's when Jesus prays over the disciples right before he goes to the garden and gets arrested. So she was saying, you know, it's a very significant thing. And the three points that she highlighted from his prayer was that God would be glorified, that the disciples, which is all of us, would be sanctified, and that the church would be unified. So just this morning, I was looking, God would be glorified, the disciples would be sanctified, and the church would be unified, and how that relates to moving in power, which comes from God, moving in purity, which is sanctification, and moving with passion, which brings about unification. And then Andy spoke on Saturday, and he read from a book that I don't know what it was, so you can ask him. The Three Battlegrounds by Francis Frangipane. And so something that I wrote down from that said, "The manifestation of God's kingdom will not come without people being committed to each other with God's love, regardless of their weaknesses, imperfections, and what they are struggling with." And so the tenor of the whole weekend was really just that heart of love. Yes, that heart of power also, you know, moving in God's miracles, and the heart of purity for us to get right with the Lord ourselves. But all of that, the reason is to go out and share God's love with those that are hurting, with those that are, that, and we're all, you know, we're all weak at times. We're all imperfect. We all have struggles. So just to embrace one another within the church in love, but then to go out from here and share love with others that aren't in the church. So it was really awesome. And I'm going to be in Mozambique this summer, so I won't be here for the evangelism rally. But I'm super excited about what he's going to do in both places. So thank you, Jesus.
One of the things that jumped out this weekend, and it was from that same book that I was reading out of, but one of the things that it talked about, it said, many times people don't stumble in the body of Christ. We don't stumble over a boulder. You don't stumble over something large. Usually if you're walking along and you stumble on something small. And it was talking about how when the Lord's calling us to a higher place of love, it's usually the little things and the people that are closest to us that cause us to stumble, that cause us to step out of love, that cause us to react in another way that isn't completely, you know, from the heart of the Lord. And I don't know about you guys, but the Lord has really been challenging me in my own heart to really, really endeavor to go after his heart, to walk in his love, and what does that love practically look like? And one of the things the Lord's been speaking to me is that it's a heart free of judgment. It's a heart free of, oh, this little person had, you know, that's close to me did this little thing, and then I judge them, I criticize them. And one of the examples that you know, came to light kind of in the thing is that sometimes in life, you know, if somebody has an alcoholic father, it's not judgment to say, look at the fact that that father has a drinking problem and say, okay, my father is an alcoholic. That's not judgment. What judgment is my father is a no-good, stinking, rotten, bitter alcoholic. There's attributes that we, in judgment, put behind the motives of the facts of people that are walking in. That makes sense? So the Lord's really been challenging me for especially walking in a heart of love and carrying that atmosphere of love, especially in the body of Christ, because that's going to reflect who he is in the earth. That with the heart of going to Mozambique and also in the heart of and going to downtown Canton is that I'm asking the Lord to break on the inside of me any judgments of any people group that I'm going to share his love with. I can't have that, because if I have that, that's going to limit the expression of his love fully put out there. And what I truly believe is that as we as a body here, as we cast the vision, as we, you know, have our hearts fixed on going out and sharing the love of Jesus, that we're going to be able to shape reality by what we're believing and standing and believing for in the kingdom. Because the kingdom of God is expressed in relationships. That's how it's expressed. People to people, person to person, loving. So I just want to encourage you guys with that, that yes, that's a challenging word, but it's a good word, because if the Lord exposes judgment on the inside of us, well, then we can get rid of it. And we're in a better place to more fully love. So I want to encourage you guys with that.
And just to go off of what Andy just said, on Saturday morning, I was spending time with the Lord, and I came across John 15, and God's just been doing so much in my heart lately, just in the realm of love, and like, what does really loving people look like, and pulling out fear, and pulling out judgment, pulling out all these things that isn't love. And when I was reading this, it says, in 9, it says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And that just like hit me, because so many times we stumble over other people's like little things, and that's judgment, you know, when you look at somebody else and you say, oh, they're having this problem and not, you know, and you have that judgment in your heart, you're not loving them, you know, and And so the Lord was challenging me and showing me like where I have looked at the little tiny things in people and the little tiny things. And God spoke to me. He's like, Bethany, are you loving? Like, that's your first commandment. That's Christianity 101. And if you can't do that, then you have to go back to the beginning and start over. You know, like love, 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 love. It's the end result. It's the everything. It all comes down to love. And when we die and we're before Jesus, and what are we going to present to him? It's love. It's, did we love our neighbor as we loved ourselves? Did we look past the faults in people? Because if you look for faults, you're going to find faults in yourself and in other people, and that's not hard to do. But what is hard to do is to love, because it's easy to love others that love you. It's easy to love people that are perfect, but it's not easy to love people that aren't perfect and people that don't love you. And it's a messy world, and we're not in heaven yet, but in this life that we have, every day we have a choice after choice after choice. Are you going to love that person? Are you going to judge that person? Are you going to love him? Or are you going to be against him? And so for me in my heart, it's just abide in my love. If you abide in my love, Jesus's love, you are going to obey his commandments. You're going to be in a place where you're obedient to him. And I found for my personal self where I obey Jesus and I feel like I'm under this faucet of love, and I just like, ah, there's a heart in my potato chip. I don't know if anybody saw that on Facebook. I found a heart in my potato chip and I pulled it out. I was like, I feel so loved. And Spencer's like, oh my gosh, you're such a girl. And I'm like, but I feel so loved and Jesus loves me. I see hearts in the clouds and like, you know, like, God, I feel like I'm under this fountain of love. And then whenever I stumble or whenever I fall into sin or anything like that, I can feel where I feel like the distance, it's not on God's part, but it's on my part. And that's why he says, abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. And so my heart is, my strong desire is, in this world and all the difficulties and things that come across our paths, that I want to abide in God's love. I want to obey his commandments. I want to obey his voice. And I want to stay in that faucet of love where I am wooed by God and where I'm not, you know, stumbling over silly, stupid things that don't matter, and that I can just love Jesus and love people. You know, every single person deserves love. And so, amen. That's my word.
Amen. Wow. So Friday night, and we're sharing this because it's something that the Lord's doing as a body here. That's why all these testimonies, what God's putting in individual people's hearts, is it's about something that continues on. A testimony means do it again, Lord. So Friday night, we were talking, Jamie was sharing a little bit, and some different examples came up of times where maybe we weren't the best at hearing from the Lord, or maybe we, you know, made some choices that were out of our own desire to comfort ourselves or please ourselves or just what feels good or whatever. And some of the challenge was there about taking, you know, what would Christ do in that situation, and then making those things a lifestyle, that it's a lifestyle of love. It's a lifestyle of loving the Lord first with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself, that's a lifestyle that he calls us to and gives us that opportunity to partner with. But as we do that, it opens up such a fountain of the Lord's blessings and the Lord's favor. And then Lawrence this morning was sharing out of this handout. He'll probably share a little bit more, but really encouraged my heart and, you know, about that favor and stuff that the Lord's poured in my life is where I've been obedient and seen that and gotten up when I needed to. But it's a prophetic word. Someone mentioned it earlier by Apostle Tim Sheets. And he says that a new stream from my throne is flowing, and it will be a pure stream of my gospel. For the stream of my gospel has been diverted and dammed up by those who wanted the benefits of reservoir blessings. But I will now blow up the religious dams. I will now discipline the spiritual hoarders, and I will have a gospel that flows freely with my spirit. And it's just stirring in my heart of, it was actually a place of gratefulness and thankfulness of what God has done in my heart, and remembering how to take that and keep, not hoard that blessing, say, oh, thank you, Lord, you've blessed me, but how to pass that on, how to move that on from where we're at. And Teresa was sharing really passionately about that last night, about stepping in to help be part of the steering team and leadership for this outreach this summer, and how it was a something she had to take to the Lord in the sacrifice of, Lord, I wanted to kind of have a little bit of more relaxed time and be with my new baby and whatnot. And the Lord said, I've got this. And, you know, there's so many people you're going to touch that, you know, as each one's touched, what they can accomplish in their life, what they can accomplish in the kingdom. And that's for all of us to remember that each life that we run into, we never know how that's going to come around. We never know what God's going to do to bring that person's life to a place of fruitfulness, to a place of destiny. And we've just seen even with the First Friday outreaches where people come back a year later, 2 years later, 3 years later and still say, man, I still have that prophetic word you guys drew for me. I still have that word of encouragement and it really has helped me through some tough times or, you know, what you shared didn't make any sense when you shared it. But I kept it because I felt like it was the Lord and then this happened in my life and it brought such a place of encouragement. I knew the Lord already knew and that he was going to take care of it. So I just think that's exciting about the Lord, that he's constantly, he cares about the little details of our life. He cares about that. And as we stay in a position of being thankful and grateful, that we're able to just release that and we don't carry the things like the judgment and stuff like that. It just immediately you're like, that's not thankfulness. That's not gratefulness. That's not a heart of love. And you just kind of say, oh, that's not the Lord. I don't want that. And it's more, I'm moving towards love. It's less about, oh, don't say this, don't do this, don't go here. But it's actually a freeing thing where we can just flow with the Spirit and enjoy that and see, you know, healing being released. And there were testimonies, I'm blanking, Chris and, oh, I'm just blanking for a second. Steve and Chris were sharing last night about 4 years at Legends and how different residents there just administering wouldn't even come out of their rooms. They wouldn't acknowledge them. And one day, Steve had a chance to pray for someone and got done, and they're, you know, unable to even get out of their bed, and they just started saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And they'd never spoken a word. He'd prayed for him multiple times. And so it's exciting what's happening in every different avenue of outreach and ministry and just in our day-to-day jobs and lives. So I could share about that for a long time and keep on going, but I think Lawrence has something to share. Is there anyone else that had something on their heart from Angela? Yeah? Something that touched your heart from the rally?
I always had, don't know the words, a heart for Canton. I used to help with a cross club in on 3rd Street, and I really enjoyed that. And they asked me to quit, so I was really happy with what they were saying last night. I was just like overjoyed that I get to help out this summer. And the I came home last night and I was laying on my couch or my family's couch and I was looking at my phone and I looked up and I saw white things moving and I'm just like, I felt like it was angels around and I was just like, it was amazing.
Amen. It's cool. Amen. The Lord is moving. He's active. And moving. Yeah, you want to share something?
Yeah.
Sure.
I just want to share something really fast that I thought was really cool. I have a really good friend who lives in Lagos, Nigeria. And with his immediate family, all of his extended family is Muslim. But his immediate family, he has his mom, dad, and two brothers. And he's the oldest of the brothers, but they're all really close. And the people in Nigeria that I've all gotten to know are so sweet and like just really happy all the time. Even though they don't have a lot, which is really cool. But anyway, what's really cool is me and him have been praying for his family for about a year and a half. One of the things that he told me was that whenever he was young, he remembers at one point whenever his dad would leave for work or whatever, he would be gone for a few weeks at a time, his mom would pray in Jesus' name. And so he was like, I know my mom, you know, knows Jesus or whatever, but she doesn't talk about it, you know. She has a lot of society pressure. Anyway, so I know that she has Jesus in her heart and she knows the power of Jesus. Well, Adams is my friend, my close friend. And he actually was the first to give his heart to Jesus out of his whole family. And he was just, you know, completely kicked out of the house and had to move and just all alone. And anyway, he's an amazing guy. But just recently, it was really cool. Me and him have been praying for his brother, Quadri, which is the youngest one, for a year and a half. And we've been praying and just, you know, keeping the faith. We haven't said anything to Quadri about Jesus or anything. But it was really cool. Just a few days ago, I was looking through my Facebook newsfeed, and He posted that one. He shared that one post that says, I want to be so full of Christ that if a mosquito bites me, it'll say there's power in the blood or whatever. And at the top, what he wrote above it was power. And I looked at it and I'm like, whoa, you know, so I just thought that was really cool. You know, it's like, God's amazing. So.
And break. And the power of just being, you know, pioneers in our families. I mean, you know, there are a number of us that in one way or other, we're all pioneering things in our family, something new, whether it's, you know, just being moving in the spirit or seeing healing in life or just salvation, just pioneering. But I'd encourage you, before I have Lawrence come up, the people that you saw holding the numbers, try to grab them when we're done here and just say, hey, what was your number and what was the significance of it if you weren't able to be here last night? Because just some really powerful testimonies from those different numbers and what they meant.
So, okay. Can we move this? Actually, I'm going to... What time is it? Awesome. So I've seen this really interesting thing happening over the last week or two. It's probably started before that, but it takes me a while to notice things happening. There seems to be this shift in the culture here. Hey, handsome. And we're seeing this awesome change. It's not like things were bad before or things are amazing, but I was sharing a testimony with somebody, and I feel like what's happening in this body here and beyond is that we're going from these moments where one person is having an encounter and carrying that in to allowing us to all experience it to a place where we're all having group encounters at a corporate level. And what I mean by that is that in the past, we've seen a lot of amazing testimonies of people come up and share some encounter that they've had, and out of that encounter, it ushers the rest of us in, which is good and amazing. And what I believe the Lord's doing in this season right now is he's bringing us to this place of corporate encounters where we're no longer seeing one person have this incredible encounter and the rest of us kind of almost like this feeling of grabbing onto the coattails and being ushered in to this place where now we're seeing God just pouring out at a corporate level. And the reason I say that is because one of the examples that we saw was, I think it was last Tuesday night, Pastor Bill opened the mic and he said, is there anybody that wants to share a testimony? How many of you guys have seen that happen at another church? Raise your hand. Okay, so what tends to happen? Like one, two people after like 5 minutes of prodding tend to come up, getting the courage. And we have that a little bit here where there's almost like, okay, who wants to share a testimony? And then you're just kind of, it's kind of lingering out there. Everybody's just waiting for Bethany. Come on, you're laughing because you know it's true. So what happens? Bethany gets up, grabs the microphone, but then like it opened the door to this place where everybody started grabbing the microphone. And it almost took up the entire service of people sharing what God has been doing in avenues of their own life. But we're seeing it bring in this connection where we're starting to see the Lord's heart revealed at a corporate level. And so there was Tuesday night, and this whole weekend, what I've seen is the Lord's continuously building upon those outpourings and those moments to places where we're seeing this desire and this hunger growing inside each one of us. That deep is crying out to deep. That hunger, that longing, that as we encounter the Lord in his grace and his mercy, it's building this edifice inside of us and this desire to have more. And I'll speak for myself, and I believe that's true for many of us in the body, that it's not a desire for me to encounter more, but it's a desire for the world to see the outpouring of his presence. Like we're seeing this shift in mentality where it's going, and I shared a little bit about that this morning, this shift in mentality that says, God, I want to see you, I want to see you, I want to see you, to this place where, God, show them your glory. Show them your love. Show them your grace and your mercy. And so what the Father has been doing in this, this has been the worst weekend ever. Like, the Lord just keeps convicting. Like, that, if you have a chance to read that Francis Frangipane book, don't do it. Just for the sake of your own flesh, stay away from it, because it will crucify you. It is horrible. Andy read like 4 pages of it, and I was like, please, God, stop. That was the worst experience I ever had in my life. You guys hear I'm joking, right? Okay. Sometimes, yeah. Feel like I got Cynthia in the back, like, tell them you're joking. So what's the Lord doing in this time? He's pouring out his presence, and he's driving us to our faces so that he can use us in ways that give him all the glory. Because he cares about the lost, but he cares about us too. So he wants us to be protected, because he knows if our faces aren't seeking him, if our faces aren't in the dirt going lower, the moment his glory is poured out, we potentially could grab onto that and take credit for it. And the moment we take credit for it, we've become exposed to the enemy. So in his grace and mercy and desire to protect us, he's driving us lower so that he can pour out this greater outpouring so that we can see the manifestation of his presence on the earth. So what I want to do this morning, there's nobody here to stop me, so I'll just wrap things up. I laugh. Yeah. What's my saying? I'm either laughing or I'm crying. So I make jokes so I don't end up crying, and that rarely, if ever, works. So the Lord has been, there was a moment this morning for me, and I don't know if anybody else that was here felt it, but I feel like I could have just stopped everything at the opening prayer. There was just such a weight of his presence that I felt in that moment. And when we experience the outpouring and coming into his presence, that changes us. That's the one thing that, there's many, 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 many things that have convicted my heart over this weekend, but that's the one thing that keeps coming back to me, is that I should be able to, like, there should never be a moment where I walk into the presence of the Lord and I come out unchanged. Every time we come into church, every time we enter in prayer, every time we enter in worship, we are coming before the King, the very one whose breath has given me life, whose breath has created everything that we see out here, and he's dwelling on the inside of me. That's like getting to a place now where I feel like it's screaming on the inside of me in a good way. Like the burden and the weight of his glory and desire to see it poured out and experience the freedom, and the grace and the love and the mercy that comes with that. I want that so desperately in my own life, but I want it so that others can experience it. How, raise your hand if there's somebody you know that you're contending for freedom. Okay, so here's what the Lord has continued to put on my heart. And if you guys were at the Wailing Wall, Lou Engel shared this. In the original vision or picture that either he had or somebody shared with them, there was this big wailing wall of names, and they were all of these names of people that we were crying out for. All the names started to get transported over to another wall of praise. Like, that's what the Lord is building inside of us, the ability to contend from a position that's going to unlock freedom for the lost, that's going to unlock grace and mercy and joy for the people who are crying out, because if they don't know Jesus, they were created to know him. They were created to know that peace and that grace. And the thing that continues just to lock my heart is that I don't want anything inside of me, whether it be judgment or fleshly desires, to hinder the glory of God from coming forward. that when people see my life, I never want to see, this is what I share this morning, I never want somebody to look at my life or this ministry and say, that's an awesome person or that's an awesome ministry. I want them to look at our lives and this ministry and say, only God. Yes. Only God could have done that. This, we don't need the glory. We have the glory. It's already inside of us. I don't need any credit for what's going on here. Like God so longs for us to come before him with this heart and this desire to cry out for the lost. That is his, he is so hungry to see his children coming into freedom. And he's looking for the man and the woman, the son and the daughter that's going to come before him and say, God, have your way in me. Let my life be a demonstration of his love and of his grace and of his mercy. And so this morning what I want to do, I want to encourage you guys, I'm probably going to have Kim or somebody come up on the stage if you could, and we'll do some worship music in the back. But I just want to have this morning, just to close out, by offering ourselves before the Lord. And if there's somebody in here who has never encountered that grace and that mercy and that love and that feeling of being overwhelmed by goodness and by freedom, please come up and I will pray with you. I would love to be an extension of God's grace and mercy and love, because it is so good and it will absolutely change your life for the better. It will absolutely ruin you for his love and for his grace. So this morning, as they're worshiping, I'm going to invite you guys to come forward just to offer yourself to God and allow him to pour out. Ask him to show you his love afresh and anew this morning. You know, one of the things that I've been doing mission trips since with Frontline since 2003. I have never, that I can think of, correct me if I'm wrong, I can never remember a time when we had a mission training weekend that we opened up the middle of the training weekend for everybody to come in and experience something. That is true, correct? I'm not lying. Like, there is something new that the Lord wants to do here, and it's for the entire body. He wants every one of you to know that love in a way that you can pour it out and show it to others around you. He wants you to know that love. He wants you to know that mercy. He wants you to experience his goodness and the outpouring of his presence so that it becomes contagious. A lot of us had a chance to watch that video that Heidi Baker shared. You know, one of the things that she said, it's so easy to share Jesus. I don't have to force myself to do anything. You're just filled with it. You're filled with that love. So let's leave this place this morning, filled this afternoon, filled and changed by his love. Let's enter his presence this morning. I'm going to invite you guys to come forward. I've been taking this position of getting on my knees and just crying out before the Lord. And as I continue to take that position in physically and in my heart, he's faithful every time just to reveal his love and mercy. He wants us to know his love. He wants us to know freedom. He wants us to know peace. That there would be such an encounter with him that you would know you were created for love, that you would know you were created for peace, that you would know you were created for victory, that you would know you were created to be a son or a daughter who's loved by his father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, this morning, come. Touch our hearts fresh. Touch our hearts anew, Holy Spirit. That we would begin to see, that we would begin to taste of your goodness, Lord. Father, there are people who are lost. There are people who have never encountered your love. There are people who have never seen your goodness poured out, Father God. Lord, let us be those people who can show your love,
who can show what grace and compassion look like, Lord. Lord, just begin to touch our hearts. Begin to remind us, begin to show us new outpourings of your love. Begin to reveal your heart at a greater level, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, you are good. You are good. You are good, Lord. You are good. You are good. You are good, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord. Father is rejoicing over you this morning. He's singing over you. He sees your life. He loves you with an everlasting love. He has a plan and a destiny for you. He wants you to know peace. He wants you to know grace and mercy. He knows every aspect of your life. He knows every struggle. He knows every hurt. He knows every pain. And he comes along and he wraps his arms of love and compassion around you. He wants to wash away any feelings of rejection. He wants to wash away the shame. He wants to wash away the condemnation. And he says, you are my son. You are my daughter. I died so that you could know my love and restoration. That you were created to be a child of peace, to be a child who knows love, who knows what freedom genuinely looks like, who knows what my love feels like. That you have not been abandoned, but he's there. Arms open, ready to receive you into his embrace, with the ability to to resolve every hurt. To restore everything that's been lost. Person here to know that they are loved. That you can be filled with power and joy.
So good, Lord.
Father. That your love would be made known to each person here, Father. That they would be filled. That they would be touched by your glory and your goodness. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just feel like the Lord is wanting to release one more quick word about how precious each one of you are. But there's so many times we can get caught up in life and whatever else is happening around us. Sometimes we lose sight of the Father's love. We lose sight of His grace and His mercy. But I believe one of the greatest revelations that we can ever have about the Father is one, that He's good. He is good. He is good. He is good. And that He loves us with everlasting love. That never changes. That never goes away. That everlasting love is continuously pouring out His love in waves. That was a part of that prophetic word that we read a part of from Tim Sheets. That it would come in waves of His glory. Waves of His glory. So today I'm just going to allow the Holy Spirit to empower each person here. To strengthen you. To fill you up with love. To pour out His grace and mercy upon you. And that you would walk in such joy and freedom. Thank you, Lord. Walk in the freedom that you were created for. Holy Spirit, fill each one of us with your overflowing joy. God, you are good, 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 good. I'm going to end this before I break into song. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, sing. Have I ever told you how I respond to peer pressure? Lord, you are worthy of so much, Father, and we are so grateful. You guys realize how crazy it is? I'm not going to preach again, I promise. You realize how crazy it is that we get to live a life where we're empowered by joy? Isn't that weird? Like, strength comes in being joyful. It's like you win twice. Oh, Lord, with outstretched hands, we receive every good and perfect gift from the loving Father. Father, let every precious revelation of your goodness and love towards each person here poured out upon them, and may they be forever ruined by your love. Amen. I'm done. Be loved to go home, whatever we're doing. Is there an announcement? I think we have an announcement. There's